We're going to go back to preparing for the harvest. So I think Sunday, I don't know how, you know, we just prepare and then we see what the Lord says. But maybe Sunday's a day of destiny, teaching, continuing to teach on Don't Kill That King. But we'll be teaching about our divine destiny. How many enjoyed, it wasn't last time, last Wednesday night we just got caught up in the Spirit. Wasn't that great? And then the one before that, we were given testimonies. You know, if you've got, and I don't want to get ahead of myself for Sunday, but if you've got a destiny in your life, like we do, that's part of what's holding your whole life together. And you guys should expect to live to be real old and real healthy. Because of the destiny. Hallelujah. Listening. Praise the Lord. You know what? I got a report the other day. Miss Barbara Fish, I hate to put you on the spot, but you're always ready. Oh, okay. Some of you heard... Sometimes I get, here, you can take this and I'll talk, and then you'll know what I want you to talk about. Sometimes I get scouting reports of the good things that are being said, like in the ladies' prayer group and this, that, and the other. And I got a chance Sunday, I think it was Sunday, or was it last, I think it was Sunday, to talk about not myself, but the grace of God that is in my life, and that kind of ties into the destiny that we all have, and about the health. And I, you know, sometimes when you talk about your health, you kind of, as a minister, you kind of, there's a part of you that kind of also thinks about where other people are at. So I prefaced it Sunday by saying there's a lot of people here that's on a fight, but that doesn't mean I'm above you. But absolutely, we should all give testimony to the things that are happening in our life, and to the good things that are happening in our life. And I said, all by the grace of God, I had just recently gone to the doctor, those annual checkups, and he said, I'll see you, you know, next year. Your cholesterol's fine. Your blood pressure's fine. All my blood work was fine, and I'm not on any kind of medication of any sort. And I just give all the glory to God. Now, that's all of you. I mean, if there's anybody that's not, that's where you're headed. But I heard somebody else had the same report, and I just want this lady to stand up, because this is the lady of destiny, and you can just preach all night if you want to.
Well, I just wanted to raise my hand, and I thought, well, maybe not. You know, I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
but I am further than you are in that.
Amen. Amen.
Because I'm older. I'll be 75 this year.
And now that she does. Now that doesn't look.
But
oh, would you mind stepping out here? Oh, they want you to be seen. Come up here.
Oh,
because you're so beautiful. I am sorry, folks. This is Miss Barbara. Okay. Come over here.
Well, I was only going to give a word.
I know.
But everything that you said,
yes,
it's with me too.
Amen.
I'm on no medication. I don't even have a doctor.
My
but
Jesus.
The.
Amen.
But I don't. I don't have any doctor. I might go to Dr. Porto. I did go to him one time. Mm-hmm. Would you like for me to tell you why I went?
You got the floor.
You might
lady.
Not like. I had some wax in my ear, and it wanted to move every once in a while. And so he said, well, I can help you there, but that's not major. But you know what? I'm prepared to run the race.
Yes.
Not only to run the race,
glory be to
but
God.
to do what God wants me to do.
Yes.
I want to fulfill that more than anything else in my
Hallelujah
life.
To
and
God.
He has given me and Alan good help. We neither one have a doctor to give us medicines. Now, he's been through surgery lately, but he's over that.
Yeah.
He's recovering. But we neither one have any medications, has never had any medications. They tried to do a few little things, and it just backfired on them. And they told me, they said, the one doctor I went to, because I went to have blood work done and a few little things, like you say.
Sure.
And they told me, well, you got this, and you need to take high blood. Your cholesterol, when you get to be 75, it needs to be a lot lower than when you're 30 to 50. How old did you say you were?
She's got me on the ropes now.
But when you get older, they say you need to lower it down and all this. I never did any of that. And he wrote me a letter and said that if you don't do this that I'm prescribing for you, then I can't be your doctor. I said, good. I really did. I was excited.
I was
only
excited.
Because I'm in good health.
Yeah.
I got up before I went to work today, and I rode my bicycle, my two-wheel. I got a four-wheel, but I rode the two-wheel. And you know what? I see myself healthy.
Yeah.
I see myself
Glory
with all
God.
The promises that God has given us.
Glory to God.
And God really does not want to hear the word. He knows the word. He wants to know what's in your heart. Amen. And where you stand with him. And it's wonderful. And I am just gloriously, I want to say healed. I'm not healed, but I'm healthy.
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 I couldn't be any healthier.
Praise God.
And I,
woo! Glory. That's good stuff. If anybody didn't hear her, she goes, does anybody want to race after church? Woo! Man, I can't believe the 75 part, though. Yes, that's, my Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, that's inspiring. That's edifying. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. All right, let's pray if we can. Amen. Father, we worship you and we glorify you. We thank you for these opportunities to go into you and into your word. We thank you for this powerful, very powerful testimony. And Lord, for the giving tonight. We thank you. Bless them now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're still on these lessons of preparing for the harvest. We really do want to prepare you for the harvest. I thought about today that we still haven't had the session. I got to get with these guys and maybe some of these guys and put on a little, it's not going to be a skit, but it's going to be the fulfillment of what I was talking to you about, that we're going to, they're going to go through and get each other born again or fill the Spirit or cast out a devil. I want to do that, Frank said. But we will do that. I'll talk to them this weekend, maybe around the campfire about that, okay? So, but we're really excited about preparing for the harvest because we know that it's coming. We absolutely know that it's coming. And Barbara was just talking about that place of living in that. You're just living and believing in that place of the expectancy. What we want to talk about tonight and share, and we're going to have scripture more than me just speaking right now, but we're going to go into some deliberate scripture here in just a little bit. But we want to, in preparing for the harvest, it's important to live in every component of faith for the revival to be materialized. In other words, I'll repeat that. Let me repeat that, and then I'll explain it. In preparing for the harvest, it is important to live in every component of faith for the revival to materialize. And so we're going to look at a little bit on two sides of faith here. I don't know if it's two sides of faith or two aspects of faith for just a moment tonight, and just kind of realize, take into effect the realization of one that may be really missing oftentimes in our life, and how that we can walk in that, and how that we can allow ourselves to be more disposed towards it. Allow the Holy Spirit to just acclimate that in our life. I think we know that it exists, what I'm going to bring up, but it's so important that we walk in just an awareness of it, a Holy Ghost awareness. The first prophecy, and I'll remind you of this, that ever came out of the prayer center in Tulsa right after the birthing of the vision or the call for revival from Pastor Dave, I think one of the first, I think it was the first printed prophecies that ever came out was a prophecy about endurance. And we've hung that prophecy, I think it's over in the prayer room, and we've read that prophecy, and we've passed that prophecy out. And so endurance was one of the first things that the Holy Spirit ever laid out as far as the groundwork of what it was going to take for revival to take place. I don't know about you, but I mean, it's 20 years now that we've been after this, and we are getting closer all the time. But we probably would have thought at different times, man, you know, it's just, it's right here, it's right here. And yet there was some part of our journey that was not yet complete. And so here we are 20 years later, and if had we not have been acclimated and founded on endurance and knowing that this race is not a sprint, it is an endurance marathon. Folks, you know, what you got, I mean, the Lord has brought me along just like all the rest of you. And the Lord has kind of accentuated and built on my ability to teach. And I hope that I'm being a better teacher for you. That's not just more interesting, but mainly more anointed. And getting over to you, hey, this is exactly, I understand what this guy's, what this, you know, if I stand up here for an hour and you go away and I don't really get what he's saying, that's not a teacher. It's like Pastor Dave used to say us, it may be revelation to you, but it's not revelation to them unless the anointing of the teacher is to take what you know and give it to them on a level that they can understand it and that they receive it. So I'm saying that we've all grown together, but what you didn't get is a big flash in the pan to start with, and haven't had. You didn't get, I'm talking about myself, what you did get, you didn't get a sprinter. You got a long-distance runner, and that's what we all have to understand. That's what we are, and there's that aspect of it that we're Rex complimented me years ago, and he said, thanks for being an endurance. You know, you're not that sprinter. You're one that will bring us in through endurance, and he made some analogy by what he was saying, and it really encouraged my heart. But faith, the faith of God, produces revival. I think everybody in here would say yes to that. Do you agree that faith, if we continue on in faith, faith will produce revival? Now, you've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. Smith Wigglesworth was asked one time, what is the components of faith? What produces? What about faith? How do you receive, or how do you walk in the faith that produces miracles, in essence? That was, I think, basically it. And Smith's answer to that was, as you've heard me say before, first, he quoted from the word, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. That is simultaneously or synonymous with 30, 60, and 100-fold. In other words, you've got to start with a place, and that place of wherever you start will progress if you do the things that causes that progression. And anybody in this room is able to go to 100-fold. Now, Smith, I would think, Smith Wigglesworth, operated a lot of times somewhere in that 80 to 90% range. I mean, when you get people right out of, you know, when you get them raised from the dead, documented people, documented that he raised a lot of people from the dead, and just incredible miracles. You know, the one that I just love is when he sent the guy, the Lord told him to go to the, you know, sent that guy to the shoe store that had no feet. He either didn't have one or both. And he went in there and the Lord said, go, and I don't know how they would, you know, I don't know if he had one foot that they could measure by or they just guessed. But the story was that when he got there and they put the shoes in front of him, that his feet began to actually grow out and grew into the shoes. So those kinds of things. But just I can't remember, 12, 13, 14 documented people that raised from the dead. But this was his deal. Faith has to grow. And it grows, and it grows solid. If it'll go from 30, it'll go from 30 to 60 to 100-fold, and that faith has that component about it. Now let's look for just a moment at the definition of faith. I know we all know it, but let's go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we're just going to look at a micro. Just if we're going to take that microscope and kind of crank it down and just look at what faith is, because, again, how many agree with me? If we're going to get there, it's got to be through faith, right? So we're preparing you for the harvest through this, but we really want, I'm going to transition this in just a few moments from just faith to an important aspect of faith, to just a real important aspect of faith, and we'll see that as we read this. Let me get there with you. And that is in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance, everybody see that, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's a very small, abbreviated, I mean, if we lengthen that out, that definition, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, it's obviously, now, it's not my objective or my job tonight to teach on specifically on faith or upon this scripture, but as I said, a certain aspect of it. But let's examine this for a moment. Faith is, how do we define faith? Faith, if we go back to our teachings on Faith 101, faith is this. It is the substance. It's substance. Well, it's not external substance. Because what you're using faith for is to bring something into existence in the natural. So it's not anything that you can actually touch, but he calls it a substance. It is an actual substance, but it's an internal, in your spirit. The Greek uses the word concrete. So it is a concrete kind of, if we use the word tangible, usually the word tangible is associated with something on the natural that you can see or touch or feel. But this substance is a substance, but it's an internal substance. And we know that because faith is seeing in something that, or believing in something that cannot yet be seen. So, but there is a substance there. The substance of things hoped for. And then I'll read this and then go back to something. The evidence of things not seen. In other words, again, it's the evidence. Where's that evidence at? Well, it's not materialized evidence because it wouldn't be faith. But it's the evidence of the substance that's on the inside. But the thing here that I want to really accentuate is, because this is the part that I feel like that we have to live in more than ever before for this thing to come to pass, it's the thing hoped for. Now, a lot of times Christians don't understand that word hope is very powerful. 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of all these is love. But in that trio, faith, there's faith, hope, and love. And love, I mean, hope here is, same word, is part of faith, but it's the hoped for, and hope here is not wish. I'm not wishing something to happen. Hope here is a, you can look it up in the Greek. I didn't write it down. I looked it up again today, and I could have, maybe I should have, but it is the expectation. And I'll put this in there. It is the present tense expectation. Hope is not wishing. Wishing's another word. Hope is the present tense. That's part of faith. It is the present tense expectation of it's about to happen. I receive it. That's about to happen. It's the substance of the thing that's being expected to happen. It's the evidence of the thing. I got the evidence. I got it. Well, when you got it? I got it right now. See, I'll get ahead of myself, but that's okay because maybe I'll have to reiterate this two or three times or several times during this. I think I wrote it down here, and I'll probably can say it better by reading it, but it's just coming out of my spirit right now. We live in a sense of endurance, okay? And that's important because without endurance, we wouldn't have made it this far. Without endurance, that and it's a Greek word. I've taught on it before. It's the word hufamene. That might not be, excuse me, Greek scholars. That's probably the wrong way to pronounce it. But it means the force of consistency. And patience is the force of consistency. In other words, that's how you get out of your trials. You consist. You can continue to go forward. And that consistency will eventually bring you out of whatever you've been in or whatever has been the mucky muck in your life. It also is what causes us to cleave together. And I talked about Sunday night in just a 3-minute or 5-minute exhortation on galley slaves and how the galley slaves were hooked together in the bottom of the boat. And I said, all you Sunday night people, and this is all of us at all times, if you don't make it on Sunday night, when you come in here and you feel like you're pulling a chain and saying, man, I'm still, you know, I don't know, where's all the people, where's all the miracles, well, what we're hooked to is each other. And the force of consistency or of endurance has got us this far. But, and we never throw that out, but here's another aspect, a powerful aspect of faith, is that the thing that we are wanting to receive must be immediately expected to come into existence. And I don't know if I can explain this. Help me, Holy Spirit, is don't trade off your willingness to go the long distance for expecting it to immediately happen right now. And I think sometimes, maybe that's not you, but I know it's me, that I'll get in an endurance mode, like this maybe is the rest of my life, and I might trade off that willingness to just keep going, keep going, keep going. I might trade off a little bit of that expectancy to say, wait a minute, it doesn't have to be 10 years from now. It doesn't have to be 5 years from now. We don't have to go through cycle after cycle. It can happen now. And that's what true faith is. In other words, if you don't expect it now, even if it takes a long time to receive it, you'll never get it then if you don't have an immediate kind of expectancy now. And that's Mark 11:23. Well, let's turn there. That's the best thing to do, turn there. Mark 11:23. That's, maybe you should say Kenneth Hagin. Or they used to say Hagin 11:23 because he quoted this all the time. This is what he'd stand on. 11:23. 22 says, Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that right there, I can read that and get the enduring part out of it. How so? Because I can say this, I'm standing here And whatsoever I say, I'm going to say to this mountain in prayer to him and use his authority, I believe that this shall come to pass. Even if I don't present tense see it, I believe that it's going to get here. It's going to get here. That's the part where you just buckle up and say, however long it takes, I'm just going to stay in there. Praise God. But look at 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In other words, you got to believe that you receive it right now. Right now. Even if it takes 5 years, there has to be a present tense. I receive. When you get whatever you get, if it took a long time, you're not going to get it unless you can go back in your heart and say, there was a point in time I really did receive it. I really received it right then. And I built the 30 on top of receiving it right then. If you go back and ask him 6 months later or 2 years later, if you petition him like you're asking him like this is your another initial petition, or it couldn't even be initial, but again, it's a repetition because you didn't get it then, you never were in faith to start with. You never were. You have to receive it right then. And then hope says it's an immediate expectation. See, all of us that are endurers, long-distance runners, train for the long distance. But to get it, don't trade off that long-distance mentality. Don't trade that off for always saying, this could happen right now. Right now, right now. Right now, right now. Hallelujah. I caught myself this morning early. It was real early. I was praying, Lord, I pray Homer reads today. And I wasn't trying to be silly about it. He listens for hours. He's not here tonight because he's at a birthday party for his grandchild. He'll listen for hours and because he can't see presently. And another part of his senses, now he's memorized a whole lot of stuff. And he's smart to begin with. He run a gas company. But because he can't, see all the time, then he's had to, another part of his senses has kicked in, and that is his memorization. And that's fine. But he needs to see today. He needs to see today. He needs to see tonight. It's very possible they'll call me tonight. Wake me up. Praise God. Wake me up. But we've got to walk around here not as a bunch of stooges, like with our heads in the clouds, but this is biblical. This is biblical. It's not foolishness to believe that all these miracles that we're believing for can happen present tense, right now, right now, right now. Hallelujah. And if you're like an endurer like me, sometimes you can get like, this is going to happen. I believe this is going to happen one day. We're going to have revival. And God is starting to change, like saying, "It's revival is coming to revival is now. Revival's right now. Hallelujah. Praise be to God forevermore." Is this making sense to you? Well, and another part of what we didn't read in Hebrews, verse 7, 11, 7, says this, "He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so that's, to me, that's another part of my endurance recipe. Like that part of it has to be there. Because you don't always see it right now, right now. But you better believe in the right now, right now. You better have that kind of expectancy. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, let's turn to John's gospel, because this is just a kind of a story, but it involves our Lord, and I always love to read about our Lord because he's our prototype, and I think it'll help us. I think it'll help us. Let's look at John chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 29, and then we'll read right on through into the next chapter just a little bit. So we're going to read this in just a moment, but I want to make a few observations prior to reading this. Okay, so everybody found that, so now you can look up when you get a chance. So what we're going to read here is John's rendition. John is not one of the synopsis gospels. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke all they write so very. If you go to Bible college or whatever, they'll put all those three together, and then John, they cast him not aside, but John is not one of the synoptic gospels. Those guys kind of recorded the same way, and John just records a bunch of stuff that the other three do not record, and he puts it almost seemingly in a chronology that does not look the same as Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Now, how many of you know that the Word of God is the Word of God, and it dovetails? It just absolutely dovetails. So when you don't understand something, when I don't understand something, that doesn't mean that it's contradicting each other. It just means that there's more study to be done, more revelation to be done, more, and it's exciting. I have been for years of just reading and then looking at chronology, and it's just been a tremendous interest of mine. I've asked the Lord, and I've not got there yet, but I've asked the Lord just for my own personal interest, just how the chronology of his life and miracles lined up on what he was doing, because all these guys, the four of them, and John's really different, how all those things particularly lined up. It's just an interest to me, and I love those kinds of historical things, and especially when it comes to the Word. Now, what you find out here in John as we read this, and we'll read this in just a moment, it's quite interesting, that John records the meeting of some of the apostles differently than what Matthew, Mark, and Luke would. And actually, John gives me more of an understanding of why certain things happened the way they did in Matthew, Mark, and it really kind of verifies to me the way that I really think that it probably did happen, the calling of the disciples. Up to this point, based on the three and then what we read here from John, Jesus has come in, has begun his earthly ministry, okay? There is a gap of about 18 years, I think that's right, from the age 12 when we saw him in the temple until the time he's baptized, which is about the age of 30. So 18 from 30, is that 12? No, I mean 12 from 30, that's 18, right? Okay, so there's 18 silent years. We don't know what was going on. We know that he was a carpenter. We know where he was raised at. We don't know anything about his social life, and we know that he did no miracles during that time. There's no recorded miracles. We know that he wasn't born again. He was born with the life of Christ. We're born again because we were born dead, and then we received life. Jesus wasn't born again at that point. That's another teaching. He was born again out of the grave, back into spiritual life, but another great teaching. But he was born spiritually alive, okay? He was born spiritually alive. So all that time up till age 30, we don't know a whole lot about him except from the last time we got a snapshot of him was in the age 12 in the temple. So we got that point. Then we find him, based on the other gospels, he's being baptized by John in the River Jordan. Immediately, also, he is baptized by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fills his born again, or it wasn't born, or his alive to God spirit. And now he goes, immediately, he doesn't start his miracles. He goes out into the wilderness. He gets up out of the water, filled with the Holy Ghost, goes out in the wilderness, and is tempted of the devil for 40 days, okay? So he wins those three major temptations. Incredible. And then he comes back into basically, to begin. He got his, I believe the Holy Spirit probably just began to talk to him about, as a man out there, he began to talk to him about his ministry and where he was going and what he should expect. But get this, he had never done a miracle. He's a novice when it comes to miracles. Never done a miracle. And so you got to look at him like you look at ourselves where, I mean, I've been involved in miracles. Maybe you've been involved in miracles. But we haven't seen yet, I haven't got them out of caskets yet. And I haven't seen the blind eyes, those real notable miracles. So those things are still new to me. I've seen some pretty incredible miracles in which God has used me. But as of yet, Jesus has not been used at all in miracles. So then John picks up here, and he's already out of the wilderness. He's already been baptized. He's back at Jordan, and John the Baptist is also going to make a pronouncement concerning him. And then two disciples of John, which are really, I believe it's John, the writer of John, who's living vicariously or incognito is the word. He's talking about this other disciple, and but then he also names Andrew here. But it's once we go into this, you'll see how that John tells how that Jesus first met some of his disciples, how he met John himself, Andrew, and then Philip, Nathaniel, Simon Peter, and Peter, John and James were brothers, and Peter and Andrew were brothers, and the four of them were partners in a business. Now, we get that through all the other Gospels, but here it talks about, and this I do not, you know, if you're way beyond me out there and you've broke all this chronology down perfectly, that's fine. And if I'm still in learning, I'm still, and so none of this is encased hard steel. But what we do see here is how that there was an introduction, how that these guys introduced, how that John and Andrew went and introduced or got Peter and brought him to Jesus. That doesn't sound like what we get out of some of the other Gospels, but it makes perfect sense to me. From the other Gospels, we've got a man walking along the sea, and he just says, hey, leave your business, leave your father, and follow me. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, who's this guy on the beach? Why? You know, and I've even preached before that Jesus had such an anointing that it just drew them. They just, I got to go. I don't know who he is, but I got to go. I believe that based on what we see here, there was a preparation. You'll see it. They met. And I think Jesus began to sit down with them and talk to them about his ministry and what he felt like he was called to do in Israel. And he began to prepare them. And I think he probably told them, look, this is going to launch pretty soon. I'm not quite sure. I know it's beginning right now. Someday, pretty soon, I'll come. You know, if you guys want to be a part of it, I'll come and get you. You may be working. Get ready. And that makes sense to me. I think there was some preface. I think there was some talking going on. I think there was some stuff behind the scenes. Like we as human beings would make sense to us. If I met somebody and was so impressed to go and get my brother and say, I think we found the Messiah, and then I bring him to Peter. That's, John says, the first time that Jesus and Peter ever met was that that they went and got Peter and brought him to him, and then he looks at Peter and says, you know, I'm calling you a rock, a stone. That's the first time according to John. So then I understand that they must have talked, and then Jesus at some point walks by and says, ready. And they're like, okay, he said this day was coming. So does that make sense? Okay, because it does make sense to me. But real interesting part here concerning the ministry of Jesus. Let's look at verse 29. The next day, John, seeth Jesus, that's John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending upon descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, get that these two disciples that transition from being John's to now Jesus. In other words, they were following the best until until the real best got there. Okay, so, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? That's funny to me because, I mean, they're not interested in where he lives at. I mean, they're just like, icebreaker. He's like, what do you guys want? And they're like, where do you live? can I get your phone number? what's your address? I mean, are you on Facebook? I mean, they're just trying to figure out what to say. They don't know what to say. They just know that John, which was, they were following John, and now John says, I'm trading you guys off. And they're like, wow, you mean there's something better than what you got? And there's one that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And they're like, I don't know what the Holy Ghost is, but I bet he's good. And they're like, okay, let's follow him. Andrew, what do you think? Yeah, let's go. And so they're like, and then Jesus turns, go, what do you guys want? can we go home with you? I mean, where do you live? He said, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Well, of course, the other one's John. It was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go into... Now, see how they met? That's how they kind of met. They just met, like, my brother met him first, and then all of the calling along the seaside and leaving your nets, that makes sense to me in a natural sense. So the day following, Jesus would go into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith to him, Follow me. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, and we don't know what contact he might have had with Philip even prior to this, the city of Andrew and Philip. And see, all these guys are connected, same city. Philip's the same city where, Andrew and Peter are from. Philip findeth Nathanael. You see, a lot of this is like a bunch of guys that know each other. And it kind of just like, it's like a bunch of friends. It's like a network of friends. And they're already, buddies. And they just like, wow, And they go and convince each other. Part of it is they're convincing each other, like, man, this guy's the deal. He's the real deal. I know he's the real deal. And so Jesus, he found him of whom the Moses, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, and Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael saith unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him, and saith unto him, Behold an Israelite, indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Now here's where the word of knowledge just kicks in. Because the word of knowledge, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw you under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So here, real quick, we'll read into chapter 2 in just a second. But here's the calling of Nathanael, and Jesus has a word of knowledge. It's like, man, here's not only the icebreaker, but this roped him. I mean, it just roped him right then. He told him something that happened during the day that nobody else knew. And he basically, when he said, why are you saying that I have no guile? And I love the way Pastor Dave said, there was something going on intimately with Nathanael, probably under the fig tree. I mean, he's sitting in the shade of the day, and there's some kind of contemplation going on that touched his heart so deeply that when Jesus said to him, I saw you under the fig tree, and that's why I said that you have no guile in you, there must be a correlating choice that took place under the fig tree that Nathanael was like, oh my God. I mean, like, it's the same thing. It's like, you've been in my bedroom. You've been in the shower with me. You know everything. You've seen my intimate choices. And he's like, he roped him in right then. He got him with the word of knowledge. And he said, you're the Son of God. I mean, you're the King of Israel. And he said, you know what? Hold your horses. If you think that's good. Hereafter, for the next 3.5 years, you're going to join this team. For the next 3.5 years, you're going to see angels. You're going to see the activity. I don't know that Nathanael actually saw. He may have, but what he saw was an angelic continual, the feeding of the 5,000, all the spectacular miracles. Nathanael, along with the other 11, was able to watch that, and that all corresponded with a corporation of angelic host working with the Holy Ghost to provide all the miracles. And Jesus said, you know what? You think that's cool? Ooh, we're fixing to get on a roller coaster here, buddy. You're going to see some stuff here. And so reading into chapter 2, and this just goes right on. And the third day, it's giving us a day by day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So it's kind of like mama's there, so she's calling, you know, third-party kind of invitation. You guys want to come? You know, and see, the other thing, too, is when you're reading through the Gospels, and maybe even especially here, because I don't know exactly how many days. I think it was probably a pretty condensed amount of time that he was able to put together his cabinet, and President Trump wishes it would be the same with him, that he could put together quickly. But it was probably within a few weeks or whatever. But I believe that there's times where not all the 12 was with him. I mean, he was still putting them together. You know, I mean, he later, you know, different times, and then he goes in, and it may be past this point that he meets Matthew, which was a tax collector, and he's sitting at the seat of customs, and he's collecting taxes. So he's gathering those 12 up, and then later he gets 70 to work with those. But that doesn't happen like today. I mean, it takes time, and it maybe takes weeks. It may have taken months. I don't know, but maybe not all of his disciples are with him. But he did have some of the guys that are joining this force. So he's got this clan, or this force, that's a better word. He's got this group that's going with him. So there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman. And that's not sarcastic. I mean, this is not, I've read through this several times, and you've heard other preachers preach other. He's just very respectful, but he said, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto his servants, well, let me just stop right there. That's the best for us to stop right there reading in just a moment. Okay, we know, based on what John is about to tell us, what he's about to do is the first miracle that he ever does. Now, he's always been alive in his spirit, and we don't know what he did for 18 years, but we know that he never sinned, because the Word tells us he was without sin, so he never got off into anything, but he never also performed miracles. This is the first miracle that Jesus is about to perform right now. Now, we know that he has begun his earthly ministry. We know that the first steps of beginning something, of putting together that administration, if you wanted to put that, that's a secular term, but his ministry is, he first is filled with the Holy Ghost, goes out, beats the devil at that moment in time. Also, I believe he received a whole bunch of instruction from the Father. He goes back and he begins to pull in all these particular men that's going to be part of his group or his administration. So he knows, Jesus knows that his ministry has begun. Okay, he knows that. But up to this point, now stay with me, up to this point, he has never done a miracle. Never done a miracle. Isn't that amazing? He's been on the earth 30 years and he's never done a miracle. He's about to do his first miracle. He knows that he's begun. He knows that it started his ministry, but he's never as of yet performed any miracles. So that's kind of new to him. That's new. That's kind of intriguing to look at our Lord and Master, knowing how many miracles he did actually then go on to perform and mature in that sense of the word in the workings of miracles. And here's the first miracle that he performs. And when his mom comes to him and says, they've run out of wine, and he's never done miracles with her before, but she knows that this is a special baby. She knows Joseph didn't put that baby in her. She knows that the Holy Ghost did that. And she knows, even though he's never had miracles, this guy can probably do something about this. And she goes, they don't have any wine. And he's like, mom, mother, woman, that's what he, woman, why are you bringing this up? My time has not yet come. Well, his time had come. And he's like, you know, if you never ever, your first miracle, you're believing it's going to happen, but then when it does happen, it kind of like, it's here. It's here. And Jesus was in faith. He had stepped out and he had begun to gather his disciples, and he's like, my hour's not yet come. Now, he's not talking about my hour to die is not yet come. He's saying, you're asking me to perform a miracle, and I'm not expecting that it was today, but okay, let's go with it. It was his time. He begins, and of course, we can read it, and you know what happens. Okay, his mother saith unto his servant, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, or skins apiece, basically. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith to them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the wine that was made, or the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew, and the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith to him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and then when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Hallelujah. So his disciples had never seen a miracle, and he'd never done a miracle. And it's like, and it's amazing that mom set him up. boy, you gonna do this? And he goes, no, I've begun my ministry. I was expecting to do that tomorrow. And he had to check. Okay, Father, it begins today. Listen, revival begins today. Our expectation is now. Ephesians 3:20 says he is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. We keep telling you, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Even when your mind is saying, it's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be the day that maybe this thing can catch you unaware. And I think that I believe with all my heart, if there's an emphasis tonight as we're closing, is to say this, let's live. Let's agree with each other and agree with the Holy Spirit that to be surprised, but the surprise comes also with an expectation like I'm believing it could happen any moment. And when it does, it's going to be, my God, but I was believing it could. But my God, it did. But I was believing it could, but it did. Hallelujah. We're moving into that. We're moving into hope. Hope, which is an immediate expectation of the present tense. If you have an immediate expectation of the present tense, then the Holy Spirit can bring it into the natural and create our miracle. The miracle that we're asking God for all of us is revival. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this great grace that we stand in. Our expectation is in you, and we believe in you. We believe that what we're receiving is tonight. Tonight, as we walk out of these doors, Lord, what wonderful things can we hear? Can we hear about Callie being restored? Can we hear about Homer being restored? Can we hear about multiple miracles in here that may be not spoken, but people have different things before your throne? Lord, we must believe that the things that we are believing you for are present tense, and we thank you for it. We ask you to continue to guide us, lead us, bring us to the house of God in power, safety on Sunday. Lord, we bless you, bless the fellowship on Sunday night, and all that we put our hands to, we thank you for in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.